I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills news with a UK twist. And I hope your Thanksgiving was fulfilling. You were hungry, not just for a Bills win, which they delivered with a 31-6 win over the Saints, but also filling your stomach with all that turkey stuffing, cranberry sauce, yams, whatever you had with your Thanksgiving. I know Alex would probably have been stuffing himself, but he's currently in London trying to watch the Cinderella the Musical, hoping for his fairy tale ending to a lovely week. But you've got me, Matt, here, and we are talking Bills Saints. And really, it's good. We've got back, and it seems like we're in this rut where we can lose one week, win the next week. And going forward with the Patriots next week and the Bucks, Panthers, and Patriots, really, we need to get into that swing. We need to get those consecutive wins back so at least we can build a bit of momentum. And I think, as we've just noticed, this was recorded on Saturday. We now know the severity of Trey White's injury, and it's a torn ACL. And with him out for the season, and the Bucks and the Patriots twice in the next 4 weeks, It seems like it's next man up for Levi Wallace, Dane Jackson, Cam Lewis being there as your backup on there. We are really going to need some help up here and have this defensive line really, really get more pressure onto the quarterback, especially when you're playing Brady and you're playing a Belichick offense. Yes, they have Mac Jones. Yes, they don't have superstar wide receivers out there, but they're still wily campaigners that are able to exploit this White-less defense. So really, that's where we need to step up. I mean, yes, the Saints, they're missing pretty much their top guys, their top running backs and all that. So Levi and Dane really didn't have that much of a challenge in there. But when you're facing the likes of Goodwin, Mike Evans and Antonio Brown and those lot, you really, really need to actually look for more help with the defensive line, to actually get into them and force the mistakes in there. And this more than ever, they're going to need more help from the safeties now, because obviously they are the quarterback of the secondary, so they will need to be smart and actually be able to move into position to actually help these young cornerbacks out. I mean, is there really anything that they can do? Are they going to be promoting from within? Obviously, we know next man up will be Levi and Dane Jackson. We've obviously got Cam Lewis, who signed to the active 53. We obviously see him going to be activated quite some more time. I mean, do you promote from the practice squad? We've got Elijah Griffin and Nick McLeod, both rookies. Or do you bring in a vet as a backup? We know that McDermott and Frazier like Dane Jackson. They like what Levi Wallace can do as a low-end number one cornerback. But would they be looking to a vet? I mean, you've got Drake Patrick, Jonathan Joseph, Jason Verrett, Prince Amakura, and Pierre Desira, all free agents. Could they bring them in on a vet minimum to source the backup and actually maybe jump in a little bit more? Will they look outside the organization again with the likes of DJ Hayden, Brian Poole? I know he's had some off-the-field issues, but Jeff Gladney, Quinton Dunbar, who the Bills actually had in as a tryout this season. Or do they go with guys that already know how to work the McDermott offense so they can come in from day dot and actually be pretty much game ready for when it comes to the Patriots game. So the likes of EJ Gaines, Lafayette Pitts, and even the guy we had last year, Daryl Worley. Do we bring those guys in, or do we keep faith with what we've got? All I can say is I think in this upcoming April, I think cornerback is probably going to be a little bit high on that list of needs, as well as a few other positions. But again, that is for another show. As much as I would love to dive into that, we'll save it for a little bit later on in the off season. But I mean, we wish Trey all the best. Obviously, I've gone through this the same with my ACL, so I know how we're feeling and how the recovery is going to be for it. And we all wish him a speedy recovery, and hopefully he can be back before before camp, so at least we get a healthier and him able to shake off the rust on there. But hey, let's stay on theme. Let's go defense. Ed Oliver. This has got to be his breakout year. I mean, the last few years he was struggling. Maybe he had to live up to the Aaron Donald hype that came out of in the draft that they compared him to. But since the Titans game, obviously with the exception of the Jags game, his pressure rate on the quarterback has been 18.8% against the Titans, 10% versus Dolphins, 5% versus Jags, 14.3% on the Jets, 18.2% on Colts, and 18.2% against the Saints. Literally borderline dominant at the moment. And some of those games are, the last three games have been without star. So it also shows that he is really developing into that three tech that we are really looking for. I mean, let's compare. I know, as we keep saying, stats aren't always everything. It's always who you're playing up against. But let's go. Weeks 1 to 5, Ed Oliver's stat line. 10 solo tackles, 1 assist, 11 combined tackles, 3 tackles from loss, 2 quarterback hits. Fair enough for a 3 tech? Do you think it should be a little bit more, a little bit less on each of those? Obviously, no sacks. Week 6 to 12. So, 7 solos, 4 assists, 11 combined, 2 tackle for losses, 6 quarterback hits, half a sack shared with F.A. Obada against the Saints, and 3 pass deflected. Tell me somewhere between week 5 and week 6 that the light bulb moment went off in Oliver's head, and he's now just become dominant. And once we get star back, or we get an able-bodied one tech there, we've got the athleticism of Ed running from 3 tech, can play wide and actually come in as well. We've got a guy that can set us up for years on the 3 tech and just constantly get better and better and better. And with Edmonds obviously back, with Star hopefully returning for the Patriots game, and with the likes of we know what Damien Harris can do as a running back, we are going to need Star back, and hopefully he will be able to free up Ed Oliver a little bit more and just become that disruptive pass rushing guy that we know that Ed Oliver can be. And also have to give a special shout out to F.A. Obada, obviously being inactive for pretty much most of the season. The last 4 games really come alive. Doesn't show up much on the stat sheet, but he has been very disruptive. From the games I've seen, where you've seen number 93 in there, you see he's always there or thereabouts, and he's actually affecting the game, because we know he can rush from the outside and the inside. In his 4 games, it really got given generic decent snaps. He's had 1.5 sacks, 4 solos, 4 assisted tackles, 8 combined tackles, 1 tackle for losses, 5 quarterback hits, and 1 pass deflective. If that doesn't scream disruptive and show what Efe Obada can bring to this team. I don't know what will. And I think this was probably, and again, I'm British. Probably the majority of the people listeners will be British. We have that allegiance, and the fact that Efe Obada, to me, was probably one of the most underrated signings the Bills could make. It took him a while to get in, probably learning a little bit more of it, but he's taken his chances, and I think that he will be a key player going forward. And those stats in just four games, compared to what we've seen in Ed Oliver in from week 6 to 12, is pretty much near enough identical. There's maybe a few stats, obviously, that are a little bit different on there. But, again, it's showing that this rotation of this D-line, the fact that we may have actually, got a bit disappointed, scratching our head a bit at the way we've actually gone heavy in on the defensive line in there. But you're looking at what it's actually done, and being able to rotate those players around to get refreshed shows that that they know what they're doing, and each player can bring their own aspect, their own style of play, to this team. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can actually do against the Patriots and the Bucks. I think he is going to be a key to this guy because, as I say, inside, outside, he can play anywhere along that line, and he will be disruptive. I think Ed Oliver is probably the Bills' breakout candidate of the year. Maybe. We'll see. There's another guy I want to talk about in a little bit later who could rival Ed for that. But I think this defensive line, I think they've got it just how they wanted it. The refresh and the rotation to keep it fresh. And obviously to keep this offense guessing. And hopefully with the Patriots and the Bucks coming up, maybe this will be a level playing field. And we can really get stuck into them and actually really become competitive and get at least 3-1. In that stretch of the Patriots, the Bucks, the Panthers, and the Patriots. 2-2, possibly 3-1 will be the best, anything worse, and that is going to be a bit disastrous in regards to the playoffs. But really, you can't say much more than this on this defense that, yes, they played an average Saints offense, who had Trevor Siemian as quarterback, missing Kamara, Ingram, missing Michael Thomas, missing their top wide receivers. They still get the job done, and I feel that this offense needs to ride their momentum and actually flip it so we can get that mentality of this defense onto the offense. And let's flip it. Let's flip. I think this is probably the one that will get the most coverage for this for our podcast and probably for many others. And it's the O-line and the offense. I mean, we talk a hell of amount about this O-line, and hopefully it's 10 days from the Thanksgiving game to when we play the Patriots on Monday Night Football. Hopefully we should have Spencer Brown and John Feliciano back for that game, which will solidify the offensive line and hopefully give Allen a bit more protection for that game. But the one thing that some people have pointed out, some people seem to want to gloss over, but something I just want to mention, is there a worry about the play of Deion Dawkins? I mean, this season he hasn't been at the point he was last year. This season, especially against the Saints, I mean, it's the worst game I've seen from Deion Dawkins in a while. Beaten a few times by Granderson, including one for a sack, one that actually allowed the pass rusher to actually affect Josh Allen on that second interception. The holding call, which was just a stupid holding call. Luckily, we managed to actually negate it on the next plays and actually keep the drive going. But He seems a bit slower. He seems not that quick out the start. Now, is it because he possibly is still suffering from COVID he had early in the season? And we do know that people can get long COVID and not even have the symptoms on there. I'm assuming that Ed's probably been vaccinated. Obviously, they don't give out that information. But obviously, with COVID, he knows what it's like. So he's probably been vaccinated on there. But is that the fact? Is that holding him back a little bit? And hopefully, whatever is going through, maybe this 10 days can really help him just recuperate, rest, and go again. Because especially when we get to the Bucks game, we are going to need our offensive line really up there, protecting Josh Allen, keeping him upright. Because without that, I think that we would be seeing Trubisky a lot more, especially with what this Buccaneers defensive line can do and has done to teams in there. The next thing on this O-line, is it time? And I'll put this out there on Twitter. When this episode goes out, I will put it up there on Twitter. Is it time to call Cody Ford a bust? Came in second round out of Oklahoma as a tackle. Didn't fare too well, so they moved him into guard and gave him that. And he's been a guard for like two or three seasons now. Yes, I give you that he's had an injury, but he still had those times to master the guard position, learn from Feliciano, learn from Quinton Spain. But I don't know what's happened. He seems to have gone, his trajectory's gone up, then down. It's pretty much like a roller coaster that just does not have the up. So it's like almost like an elevator. He's had good times going up, 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 all of a sudden, bang. Confidence is shot. Play is actually is not there. He's just not been able to focus and actually show what he can do. But is it time to call him a bust? I mean, once Spencer Brown comes, we know that they're going to flip Darrell Williams into guard. And you've got to think that one of the top three picks in the draft will be a guard itself on there, because we've got Feliciano, who's on borrowed time age-wise, not play-wise, age-wise. And really, this was a make-or-break year for Cody Ford. And to me, I think if you're looking at the line, you're looking at the word bust, I think he is just teetering. He is teetering on that edge. And again, please let me know. Let us know your thoughts, whether we should call him a bust, or if there is external factors and we should give him a bit more time. But I think we definitely need to get this O-line sorted to give Josh Allen that time. And on the subject of Josh Allen, are you worried? The first seven games, he only threw three interceptions. In the last four, he's thrown seven interceptions. Okay, a couple of them were not on Josh. A couple of them, they were affected by being hit and all that. But is there a worry? Especially when you're coming up against a Patriots defense that leads the league in interceptions with 18. And you're playing twice in 4 weeks, and you've got the Bucks with 12 interceptions, which is tied sixth in the NFL. Are you worried, given that, and given the fact that Trey White is not going to be there for those games, that they could be costly in there? Or do you just trust this coaching staff? I mean, yes, regardless of those two interceptions, he went 23 from 28, 260 yards, four touchdowns with a quarterback rating of 125.7 and a completion percentage of 82.1, which is second only to Trent Edwards. Yes, Trent Edwards, Captain Checkdown, back in 2000 and 2008. But is it a case that he's trying to force it? I mean, the first interception to Diggs, I think he was trying to force it. He's staring Diggs down, which allowed the defender to Roby to come up and actually make the play ahead of Diggs. Is he not going through all the possessions quick enough that he's actually focusing on one? By the time he takes the others, he's either having to scramble or just having to throw and hope that it goes to a receiver. It's one of those things that only Josh really will know, but we know that he can actually he can learn from his mistakes. We know that he can rectify this, and to his credit, after every game he goes back, he actually comes out and says, I know what I've done, I know how to fix it, and he can make those adjustments in game and obviously make week by week adjustments to manipulate opposition defenses. People think they may have a game plan against Josh, sometimes it'll come off, but we trust the fact that Josh knows how to make that adjustment and how to really get this offense back up and running. And speaking of play calling, and I'm going off the record here, the opening drive was the best drive I've seen by a Bills offense in a little bit of time. They balanced it with the pass and run, mixing it up, keeping this opposition guessing. But it seemed after that, they went back. They went back to either just run, 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 or pass, pass, pass. They didn't mix it up. Yes, we had some sustainable drives that lasted some time, but they need to mix it up a little bit. Is it a case that they're going back to actually to what their identity was? And we discussed this, that it could be more of a pass first offense, abandoning going into the run, which obviously is affecting the running back performance and they're not being effective. Because if we stuck to the game plan we had on the opening drive, I think we could have actually we could have avoided a couple of sacks, avoided a couple of those interceptions, and that scoreline could have been a lot higher. But it's that balance. I mean, you want to play to your strength, and we know that the passing game is our strength, and run game is not. But the run game opens up a lot, and it was nice to see Matt Breida actually being used a lot more in this game. Okay, he has 6 less carries than Devon Singletary, but still averaged the same yards per carry of 2.9. He did it on 9 attempts. Singletary done it for 15. Maybe Brown and Feliciano back, if they use Breida more, he'll probably gain more. Maybe Singletary will gain more on there. But hopefully what he's done in those limited touches will let De Ball and McDermott have more trust in Breida, especially in the passing game. As mentioned in the preview, he opens up that playbook and has been reliable in that pass game. I mean, what was it? He went for 26 yards on the ground against the Saints. And what did he do in catching? Okay, he went 2 for 29 with a touchdown in there. An average of 14.5 yards per catch, and longest of 23. He is a weapon that we can really use in this game, and I think it's something that the Bills need to exploit a little bit more, which brings on to my last closing points on there. Can we talk Dawson Knox? I said earlier, Ed Oliver, breakout year. Maybe we can have one for the offense as well. And that Dawson Knox. Yes, the stat line of three catches, 32 yards, is a bit underwhelming for what you want your number one tight end to play. But 2 touchdowns, 3 if it wasn't for that illegal man downfield penalty. It doesn't, the stats and Knox's play doesn't stand out like Kelce or Kittle or any of those top tier tight ends, but it shows the chemistry him and Josh have and shows how more reliable underneath in the flats that Dawson Knox, and even on the outside, that Dawson Knox can give as a safety blanket for Josh Allen. And maybe, my opinion, not just the rib injury that Beasley's suffered, But maybe that is a reason why we're seeing a little bit less of Beasley, a little bit less of Emmanuel Sanders. Who knows? But what we can see is that what those two touchdowns done, it's obviously made him the Bills' single season record holder for the most touchdown receptions by a tight end. He's only done that in 9 games. He's at top of the NFL touchdown reception list alongside Hunter Henry of the Patriots. And Dawson Knox, again, it's a light bulb moment. He can line up in the backfield as a blocker on the line, out wide as a wide receiver. They've got someone in Dawson Knox, which now he didn't get much at Ole Miss, but they've really developed him, and the ball's now been a bit more creative with him. It becomes a matchup nightmare. And behind Stephon Diggs, is there really anything else we need to say about Stephon Diggs in there? But Dawson Knox has become the second most reliable target behind Diggs, and hopefully, with Diggs as an all-pro, Allen just needs to get back to targeting more. We targeted him more in the first few drives, but then sort of sprinkled it in and around that game. And if they start looking targeting Diggs more, as we saw, he frustrated beat Marshon Lattimore, who is a top cornerback. Don't get me wrong, with his route running and footwork, he'll be a matchup nightmare, and he can win his battles and help us go down the field. And Gabe Davis, my last one. We need to get him involved a lot more. He was the key to Knox's 24-yard touchdown with that block. We'll be able to use more wide receiver tight end screens because he is such a great blocker. Think Robert Woods when he was at the Bills, when he's at the Rams now. He was known for blocking. Gabe Davis is almost a Robert Woods 2.0. And this also will help us in the screen game, especially with Breida when you have him when you do a wide running back screen and all that. He doesn't just give you that; he gives you the explosiveness, the tough sideline catches, the explosive over the top action to actually break three. And working with Beasley and Diggs last season has really completely step up his game and become another reliable target for Josh Allen. So on that note, I think I'll leave you with one little nugget, one that really will make you think as Bills fans about what this team can achieve. The combined record of the opposition that the Bills have beaten this season is 28-46. 128 lost 46, whereas the teams they have lost to are 21 wins, 20 losses, one tie. So the Bills have a tough schedule without White, as we know, with the Pats and the Buccaneers. I mean, if we get to the playoffs, whether it be through a wild card, whether it be through the winning the AFC East, games against the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Bengals, they are going to be games where we really need to worry, in a sense, and how we can actually disrupt that game. And hopefully, the Pats and Bucks next 2 weeks will really give us a good idea where we are. So that draws to the end of the show. Keep subscribing, following, liking, sharing, word of mouth the name UK Bills to all your friends, all your non-allegiant teams, anyone that's just getting into NFL. Like us on Twitter at UK underscore Bills, at RWBB underscore podcast, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook and YouTube, at UK underscore Bills on Instagram. Keep showing the love, keep helping us grow. Don't forget, unfortunately, Monday night there will be nothing in the Fitzrover Bell because it is a 1 a.m. kickoff. But whenever we have a 6 or 9 p.m., get down to Fitzroy with Bell. Hopefully, we'll be back there or even Moortown for the playoff meetup. But for me, hopefully, I'll have Alex back with me for the Patriots preview show. For me, Matt, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Keep subscribing, liking, following, sharing, and let's go, Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh?
That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.